Let's read together Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In these first three verses, we have a prophecy of God's judgment upon the whole world. Zephaniah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Let's begin our study of the book of Zephaniah with some background notes. We see from verse 1 that Hezekiah was the great-great-grandfather of the prophet Zephaniah. We believe that this was good King Hezekiah who reigned over Judah at the end of the 8th century B.C. Thus, Zephaniah is the only prophet of royal blood, and thus Zephaniah would be related to the kings of Judah. We see from verse 1 that Zephaniah prophesied during the days of King Josiah of Judah. Josiah's reign in Judah was from 640 B.C. down to 609 B.C., a reign of 31 years. King Josiah came to the throne when he was only 8 years old, and he was a good king. In fact, it was during the reign of King Josiah that a great revival took place in Judah. You can read all about this in 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23, and 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35. Josiah's revival is usually dated at 621 B.C. Zephaniah's prophecy may have paved the way for Josiah's revival. Remember, the two kings preceding Josiah were Manasseh and Ammon. They were both wicked kings. They practiced idolatry and led the kingdom of Judah downhill, morally and spiritually. They even destroyed the available copies of Scripture. But in 622 B.C., a hidden copy of the law was found in the temple. It was brought to Huldah the prophetess, and she explained that God was going to bring judgment on Judah in accordance with the curses of the law. This triggered a nationwide time of repentance, which resulted in Josiah's great revival of 621 B.C. Unfortunately, the revival was short-lived. The people soon went back to their sinful ways. As a result, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies to sweep in and conquer the kingdom of Judah. So Zephaniah's prophecy of judgment could have either paved the way for Josiah's revival, or it could have shortly followed the revival after the people had returned to their sinful ways. In any case, Zephaniah's prophecy looks forward not just to God's immediate judgment of Judah, but it looks on to God's worldwide judgment in the end times. And we'll see in chapter 3 that Zephaniah's prophecy also looks forward to Israel's blessing when the Lord returns. Well, so much for background. That brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for these first three verses of Zephaniah chapter 1. So doctrinal point number 1. During the coming tribulation period, the earth will suffer greatly. During the coming tribulation period, the earth will suffer greatly. In verses 2 and 3, Zephaniah looks beyond the immediate future to the far future, namely the end times. He sees the judgment of God making a clean sweep of the earth. Verses 2 and 3 once again, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the earth, says the Lord. The phrase, face of the earth, here in verses 2 and 3, can also be translated face of the land. But it appears that Zephaniah has more in mind than just the land of Israel when he pronounces God's judgment here in verses 2 and 3. So when is this worldwide judgment, which Zephaniah predicts? We believe it's the coming tribulation period of the end times. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Read 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in this connection. This event could happen at any time, even today. There's no prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place. It's imminent. It could take place even today. Now, after the rapture of the church, there will come the tribulation period. It will last for 7 years based on the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. We don't believe the church will go through the judgments of the tribulation period. If you do, see me later and we'll talk about it. After the tribulation period, the Lord will return with his saints to this earth and set up his glorious millennial kingdom. All the end time prophecy of worldwide blessing on this earth, predicted in the Bible, refer to this kingdom time. And all the end time prophecies of worldwide judgment on this earth, predicted in the Bible, refer to the tribulation period. We believe that Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this passage refers to this tribulation of the last days. Now notice the doctrinal point. During the coming tribulation period, the earth will suffer greatly. The birds and the fish and the beasts and the land itself suffer. Listen to the words of Isaiah concerning this same tribulation period. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And verse 3 and following, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The earth languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Also listen to the description of the first and second trumpet judgments of the tribulation period as given in Revelation. I'm reading Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The Bible teaches that during the coming tribulation period, the earth will suffer greatly. Doctrinal point number 2. During the coming tribulation period, mankind will suffer greatly. During the coming tribulation period, mankind will suffer greatly. Zephaniah 1 verse 3 says that God will cut off man from the face of the earth. Not only does the land with its plant life and animal life suffer greatly during the coming tribulation period, but people suffer greatly as well. There will be much death during the tribulation period. Again, listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 24, verse 6. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. And listen to our Lord's words in his Olivet Discourse concerning this coming tribulation period. I'm reading Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. For then, that is this coming tribulation, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Under the sixth trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 9, we read that a third of mankind on the earth will be killed by three plagues. I'm reading Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Think of it, a third of the earth's population wiped out. This is the number who die from just one of the judgments of the tribulation period, and there are many others. Now you might say at this point, how is all this death possible? Hey, listen, in view of recent tragic events, how many people would die, do you think, if terrorists got their hands on nuclear and biological weapons? Now that's just one possible scenario of how God may allow unbelievers during the tribulation period to reap what they have sown for turning away from God. Make no mistake about it. The Bible teaches that during the coming tribulation period, mankind will suffer greatly. Now, what about practical application from these first three verses of Zephaniah chapter 1? Don't give up hope for another great awakening. Don't give up hope for another great awakening. In view of the coming tribulation period, which may be in the near future, as we consider the world situation at this time, an obvious question comes to the mind of the believer. Is it too late for a change of heart in this nation? Is it too late to respond to God's wake-up call? Have we as a nation reached the point of no return? I trust not. Don't give up hope for another great awakening. You know, America has had two great spiritual awakenings in her history. Let's pray for a third. It could happen. As you know, an awakening is different from a revival, technically speaking. In a revival, God's people are revived. In an awakening, unbelievers are converted. Let us pray that a grassroots spiritual awakening would be triggered in this nation at the present time. The promises of 2 Chronicles 7:14, although given to ancient Israel, can certainly be applied to our nation. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Given to ancient Israel, but certainly can be applied to our own nation today. Don't give up hope for another great awakening.